Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 11, 2014, or it's 8-16-2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, No One Ever Cared For Me Like the Yahshua. I would love to tell you what I think of Yahshua, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Yahshua found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Yahshua placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Everlasting Kingdom of the David, part 17, we're on Tanner Green, Volume 2, number 13. We're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from Matthew 3. And we're going to see what we have here. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loin, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come unto his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. he shall baptize you with the Yahweh Spirit and with the fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Yahshua from the Galilee unto Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Yahshua said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Okay, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I want to say, make a comment here. It says, And Yahshua answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, John the Baptist is a type for the New Testament of this Elijah of Malachi 4:5. And so we have this antithetical Elijah again on the scene in the form of Dettenbrocken, Elijah David. John the Baptist was in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so it's the Elijah and Yahshua that fulfills all righteousness when those two get together. So those two are back together again here in the everlasting kingdom of the David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven. And so it behooves us here, the kingdom of David, to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. And so Yahshua he's come. His fan is in his hand. He said, and he has thoroughly purged his floor up to this point, and gathered his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. The wheat is 144,000. That's a bookwork invisible for us. When the marking starts and the seeding starts for 144,000, it's invisible to the house of David. But when Yahshua appears with them in the person, then that will be a different scene altogether. Now we're going to go right ahead, and let's back up and read Malachi chapter 3 and 4. Behold, I will send my messenger, and this is antithetical Elijah, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua, whom you see, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. So even that messenger of the covenant is going to come to his temple too. Alright? Well, when did this happen? Well, he came to the temple at Gilead Center, Mount Zion at the 11th hour, with Rollis Johnson at the head of it. He suddenly came to that temple. That was Yahshua's temple. And he'd already sent a message before, though he came suddenly. He sent a message by his servant and typical Elijah David. He said, go tell Rollis W. Johnson, my messenger, the one I appointed over the candlestick of Laodicea, the 70th century, go tell him that there's going to be a change in the guard at the Passover 2002. I told him that about 6 months, the latter part of 2001. I told him that. And he said, go tell him. So the messenger whom you seek, he also comes to the temple suddenly. That's Elijah. And it says, Yahshua suddenly comes to his temple, just suddenly. And even the messenger of the covenant, typical Elijah, comes, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua of hosts, but he may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's hope. And he shall sit as refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be present unto the Yahweh as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the idolaters, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Okay, so now, why have Yahshua thoroughly purged his floor, cleared right down to two people now? Because when he come to visit each and every member of this house of David, right down to the last one, if they had any of these problems, if they were a sorcerer or an adulterer, well, Helen and Sharon had all the appearance of carrying on an adulterous relationship. Okay. So, Yahshua took care of it. They wouldn't clean up their act, and so he took care of it. And against the false swearers, okay. And Alan came in and said, Verla Johnson published and taught the truth. I don't teach the truth. So is that swearing falsely? I teach the truth. Heaven's my witness. And Alan's been my witness for many years. He told me the reason he came with me is because when I had that confrontation at Sherman, Texas with Verla Johnson on July 27, 2002, he said the reason he came with me is because Frodo was lying and I was telling the truth. Now he comes along here 12 years later and he says, Frodo is telling the truth and you're lying. So you see, Yahweh can't use people like that. They're unstable as water. He can't use them. And against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Yahshua of hosts. For I'm the Yahshua, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Yahshua of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed for the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So, Alan DeLaw, you have robbed Yahweh a long time. You have robbed him a long time of tithes and offerings. You haven't paid Yahshua his fair share. Okay, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith, saith Yahshua of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Yahshua of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome man, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve Elohim. What profit is it that we have kept his order, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Elohim are even delivered. Then they that feared the Yahshua spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of the host, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. Okay, that's the end of Malachi chapter 3. Okay, Malachi 4 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua of hosts. They shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Yahshua of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Now notice it says Elijah the prophet. So whoever his prophet is in the last days, then that's who Elijah is. Whoever his prophet that he has raised up to fill the position of this antitypical David, then that's your prophet that has the title of this Eliyahu, the two parts of Yahweh's name, which is transliterated in the English and condensed down to five letters, called Elijah. But the proper spelling and the proper pronunciation is Eliyahu, which is a seven-letter word. Two parts of Yahweh's name. That's all Elijah had back then, was two parts of Yahweh's name. That's the only way the Bible knew him, was by his Yahweh's name. two of Yahweh's names. Eliyah, Yahu. So that's the only way the Bible knew Elijah the Tishbite, was the fact that he came from the family of the Tishbite family. And he hailed from Gilead. He abode in Gilead. And this is where the antitypical Elijah David came from. I came from Gilead. And this is what's going on here. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua and his father Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of his fathers to the children and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Okay, so that is our job. As we have to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Okay, now. We are through with our prayer thought. I don't guess we have anything else to add to what we just read here. Unless we read John chapter 3. And that will have to do with what the kingdom of heaven is like and unto, because that's the name of our series, is the kingdom of heaven. Let's just turn to John chapter 3 and see what that's all about. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Okay, he was a man of the Pharisees. Nicodemus came up maybe from because the Pharisees hailed from the house of Esau. And Yahshua hailed, and when he came on the scene, he hailed from the house of David. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And I'm saying that he hailed from the house of Esau. Okay, and Esau was not the head of a tribe of Israel at all. He had a Hebrew father, Isaac, and he was the twin brother of Jacob, but Jacob was of the seed of the Hebrew Israelite, whereas Esau ended up being the seed of the Ishmaelites, born of the flesh, firstborn of Abraham, but still born of the flesh, carnal. That's the reason why Yahshua said to Rebekah, two nations are born in your womb. There was two nations. There was a nation of Satan, the Edomites, and there was a nation of Israel, the Hebrew Israelites with Jacob. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 2. For the same came unto Yahshua by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Elohim, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except Yahweh be with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of the heaven, the kingdom of the Yahweh. Well, it's the same difference. Yahweh owns the kingdom of heaven, which is the everlasting kingdom of David. He's sharing it with his son. They're co-owners of it. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Well, I say Yahshua and the Father as co-owners of the kingdom. Yes, they created the kingdom of heaven. But David inherited it as the leader upon the throne of heaven. Okay. Can he enter the second time? Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Yahshua answered and said unto him, art thou a master of the Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of the heavenly thing? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what did Yahshua say, meant when he said, and no man hath ascended up into heaven? And we know that Elijah of old was translated into heaven. We know that Enoch was translated into heaven. What does he mean by this? Mean no carnal fleshly man has ascended into heaven. Okay. Mean those that are not born again have not ascended into heaven. Only those that have been born again. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For Elohim sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of the Elohim. Okay, there's a difference in believing that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. That's one thing. But to believe in the name of the only begotten, you have to accept that name, Yahshua. Yehoshua. It's a seven-letter spelling when you pronounce it that way. And this is the... Yahshua is also a seven-letter spelling. Okay. And this is the... I think Yehoshua is an eight-letter spelling. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh unto the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh unto the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in the Yahweh. After these things came Yahshua and his disciples into the land of the Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing at Anon, near under Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into the prison, Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, unto whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come unto him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from the heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Yahshua, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from the heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set under his seal that Elohim is true. For he whom Elohim hath sent speaketh the words of the Elohim. For Elohim giveth not the Spirit by the measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of the Elohim abideth on him. So what do we learn here? It says, For he whom Elohim hath sent speaketh the words of Elohim, for Elohim giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Remember that. That's verse 35, John chapter 3, verse 35. Okay. That pretty much takes care of that. Now let us go to Galatians chapter 3. We're reading a lot of these chapter 3s in these books this morning. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yahshua Messiah hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Okay. So how are we any different than the foolish Galatians? Yahshua was set forth before us and crucified afresh in the Word. 2002 at Kermit, Texas. He was set forth in our midst and crucified afresh by the angel of Laodicea, the leader of Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Gilead Center. Okay. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Now he's asking Gilead Center. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works? You claim to have the true Spirit. Did you receive it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the Yahshua, or faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant? Is that which one did you choose? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, Brother Johnson says he was above sin. He says, my wife's above sin. But I know he started in the Spirit. I know that the Spirit was upon him to give him the light to know how to raise up that sanctuary. I mean, he was not an educated man, never professed to be, and didn't want to be. But Yahshua took over and educated him in how to raise up the tabernacle. Well, he had to do the same thing with Moses. He took Moses up in the mountain for 40 days. He had to take him up there and educate him. He couldn't just say, go do it for me. Here's a pattern. He had to take him up and educate him. He took Rollis Johnson 2 years before 1970. In 1968, he started educating Rollis Johnson on this sanctuary tabernacle. And Rollis Johnson was able to produce a perfect instrument, the creation calendar. Raise up that tabernacle. And so I know he began in the Spirit. Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Are you now made man perfect by the flesh? Well, as John said, they had arisen above sin. And yet he was full of dead man's bones when he told me that. He had been completely deceived and taken, completely overthrown in his spirit, and didn't even know it. And it happened all by his wife. So Yahshua asked him 2002, he said, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? In 2002, when I was with July 14, 2002, with Rose and Lame all alone in their car, I was driving, we were traveling down the road. They would begin to bewail of the fact that they've suffered so many things. They have just suffered the loss of their fair-haired son. They buried him. They just was losing everything. And, boy, they began to feel it. And Rollo Sons was sitting there with a broken hip. And he wasn't able to stand the pulpit anymore. They suffered many things. Was it in vain? So Yahshua was asking Rollo Sons, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, it may not be too late yet, Rollo. You know, I've got a message from heaven. Apparently, it's not too late. He says, if you do thus and thus and thus, you'll redeem the time. You'll get rid of all your past sin. You'll get a clean garment. You'll get rid of your filthy garment. It's not yet in vain. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth unto you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Okay. He therefore that ministereth unto you of the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. This is Yahshua. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua? There's power in the blood. His faith in the Yahshua and his blood. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, when Yahweh told him about the blood of the everlasting covenant, said Abraham believed him. He believed in the blood of Yahshua and the everlasting covenant. And he was counted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith in the blood of Yahshua, the same are the children of Abraham. Okay. So if you have the same faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, then you're the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay. So then they which be of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So if you're just following the regimentation of the rituals of the sanctuary, and not understanding the meaning of any of it, but just going through the dead formalities of it, then you're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you don't continue in all things that's written in the book of the law to do them, then you're cursed. That's the reason why Alan DeLong is not here today and Sharon. He only went so far, according to the letter of the law. But he did not continue in all things that's written, which are written in the book of the law to do them. He wouldn't. My wife and I, when we sacrificed and gave up all, everything, families, children, houses, land. We made a covenant with Yahweh that we would continue in all things that's written in the book of the law to do them. As it was shown to us and it was shown to us, we would accept it and we would teach it and strive to follow it. But that no man, verse 11, Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh. No, you're not justified by the law. If you're not following the blood of the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua, and Romans 8:2, No, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh, it is evident. For the just shall live by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. There you have it right there. For the just shall live by the faith. All right? For more confirmation on that, all you have to do is just go to Romans chapter 8 and see about this just living. Or Romans chapter 5. Let's just go ahead with the Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of the faith in the blood of Yahshua, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay. Yahshua has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of the Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Yahshua Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. So Yahshua confirmed it by his blood. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Okay, what did we say constituted the seed of Abraham? If you believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, then you are the seed of Abraham. And that's who the promises are made to. He saith not, and unto seeds as many, but as a one, and unto thy seed, which is in the Yahshua. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before the Yahweh and the Yahshua, the son of the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should make the promise of none effect. So that law cannot come to an end that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It cannot disannul. Otherwise, it would make the promise of none effect. So that's the reason why when covenant picked up with Vitti Holoff in 1930 and was renewed with him, that showed because that law at the end of 430 years coming out of Egypt could not disannul that the promise would be of none effect. That's the reason why we're sitting here today talking about it. That's the reason why we're sitting here today showing the results of the promise being fulfilled unto the house of David, the spiritual house of Israel today, that is about to bring forth the 144,000. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more the promise. Okay. So if the inheritance is of the law, the Jews would have stayed in the land of Israel instead of being purged out of it. But Elohim gave it unto Abraham by the promise. He gave it unto Abraham by a promise. That if you maintain your vigilance and diligence to teach and believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant, which involves my son, then the promise will be sure to you and to your seed after you, to the end of time. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgression, till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahshua is one. And I know it says God here, and people would tend to think that's talking about the Father, but we're talking about the mediator. We're not talking about the Father being the mediator. We're talking about the Son is the mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahshua is one. Is the law then against the promises of the Yahweh? Elohim forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Okay. That the promise by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah might be given unto them that believe. Now, I added that the blood part. But before faith in the blood of Yahshua came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith and the blood of the Yahshua, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto the Yahshua, that we might be justified by the faith and the blood of the Yahshua, that after that faith is and the blood of Yahshua is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of the of the Yahweh Elohim by the faith in the blood of his son Yahshua the Messiah. For as many of you as have been baptized into the Yahshua have put on the Yahshua. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in the Yahshua Messiah. And if you be a Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Okay. That's the end of Galatians chapter 4. Okay, let's make a correction. We just finished Galatians chapter 3. I thought I said that. We're going to continue right on into Galatians chapter. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Let's go into Ephesians now, chapter 3. There's something about these chapter 3s. Start with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Yahshua Messiah, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of the Yahweh, which is given unto me to you word, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Yahshua, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, Elijah David is a recipient of this Spirit, and this mystery being made known, it says, is only made known and revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay. So now the key word is holy apostles. Now granted, Rhodes Johnson was he was an apostle. He was a prophet. But he was not a holy prophet. He was not a holy apostle. Now there was Ben Roden, his predecessor, that succeeded V.T. Hollis for 15 years, 1955 to 1970. Of course, Ben Roden didn't give up the ship. He continued on. He died in 1978. Okay, he died 23 years after 1955. His wife died in 1986. She wouldn't give up the ship. And then her son succeeded her, Buck Roden. He wouldn't give up the ship. And then he had a man that overthrew him named Vernon Howell, David Koresh. He took it over and built it up. And then had a confrontation with the government in 1993, and it burnt down to the ground. So, it just shows you, though, that because Ben Roden was not a holy apostle, that's the reason he came to his end. Okay. Okay, he says that the Gentiles, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the faith of the blood of the Yahshua by the good news of this mystery that is opened up about how the Gentiles are made part of the commonwealth of Israel and have been adopted into it and grafted into it. We're fixing to get into that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according unto the gift of the grace of the Elohim given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Yahshua. and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in the Yahweh Elohim, the Father, who created all things by his Son, the Yahshua Messiah, unto the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the house of Israel of the manifold wisdom of the Yahweh Elohim, according unto the eternal purpose which he purposed in Yahshua, our Savior, in whom we have boldness and access with the confidence by the faith in the blood of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, of whom the whole family in the heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according unto the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Yahshua may dwell in your hearts by the faith, that you being rooted and grounded in the love may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is of the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of the Yahshua which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of the Elohim. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according unto the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by the Yahshua Messiah throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read the whole chapter. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Yahshua, if any comfort of the love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of the one accord of the one mind. Okay. This is what he was calling for us here at Mount Zion at the 12th hour, here at Liberty Hill, Texas, to be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of the mind let each esteem other better than himself. Let not every man into his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the Yahshua Messiah. So now the word let is a command word. So Yahweh, Philippians here, he's commanding Yahweh's apostles. He says, let this mind be in you, Yahweh's mind, which is also in Yahshua, who being in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yahweh, because he had Yahweh's mind in him. Yahshua didn't think it was robbery to be equal with him, because he had Yahweh's mind in him. That will make you equal with Yahweh. That you cannot be equal any other way. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Elohim also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of the Yahshua every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. Okay, now we have things under this earth. We have an inner planet here inside of this earth. This is a hollow planet. It has a sun in the middle of it. Inside the planet is about 3,200 miles across, open space. They have the Pacific Ocean that flows from the west through the hole in the North Pole. It's an 800-mile diameter hole in the North Pole that flows right on into the inner part of the Earth. Pacific Ocean just keeps on flowing. It flows through the North Pole, and it flows out the South Pole. Okay, so it says, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua Messiah is Master unto the glory of Elohim the Father. I like to say also the Atlantic Ocean from the east, it flows through that big hole and right next to the North Pole. And it has the Atlantic Ocean inside. It has mountain ranges inside this earth. They say that they're taller mountains than they are on top of the earth. Okay. And they have life down there. They got life of people. They got life of animals. That's a mystery that we hadn't been revealed to us yet. Yahweh kept his hand on that, but we know that this flying saucers come out of there. They have flying saucer bases down there. Okay, wherefore, let's continue on. They were in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, that now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of Elohim, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of the life, that I may rejoice in the day of Yahshua, that I have not run in the vain, neither labored in the vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Yahshua Messiah to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of the good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of the Yahshua Messiah. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see him, see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Yahshua that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in the labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered unto my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of the heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but Elohim had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Yahshua with all gladness, and hold such in the reputation, because for the work of the Yahshua he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of the service toward me. So you see, Yahweh raised up helpers for Paul back then. And I prayed for Yahweh to send me a helper, and I just prayed for one, and I got him. He sent me Alan DeLong. He's been a great help in many, many, many ways, financially and spiritually through the years. But he didn't fill this position that this man filled with Paul. Paul was able to send this man in his stead and could depend on it. But I couldn't send Alan in my stead and depend on him. After 33 years of having association with him, I couldn't do that. And so Alan needs to re-examine himself and see, you know. Just don't go, if you haven't gone too far, I mean, do some re-examining of your soul. I'm talking about this as an example for our people in Africa. Jeff Wright, you're going to suffer the same thing that I'm suffering here if you're going to have people come and join you. Okay. Well, this is the end of Philippians chapter 2, and that's about the end of our sermon. We've just got a couple minutes left. And our main theme was here found in Time of Greetings, Volume 2, number 13. And we were on page number 7. It said, the sixth seal contains the signs of the times and brings the end of the world for the judgment of the dead and the advent of the church. And since the sixth chapter of the Revelation brings us to the end of the world, okay, so the Adventists, they had their end in the Revelation chapter 6. That's all the further that the Adventists reached up to. And as the things of the seventh chapter takes place before the end, okay, before the 12th hour began, it is obvious that the subject of the chapter 7, the seed of 144,000 from the tribes of the Israel and the gathering of the great multitude from all nations, the first fruit from the Seventh-day Adventist church and the second from the nations, lapses back into the period of the sixth seal. Besides, the seventh seal begins with chapter 8. Okay. So the seventh seal began with Elijah David, 2002 at Kermit, Texas, the house of David. That's when the seventh seal was opened. That's when the judgment of the living began. Okay. And let's first let us remember that the sixth seal brought us up into the end of the world, the beginning of the 12th hour. That is the beginning of the end. Obviously, therefore, the seventh seal, which covers a number of the subjects, must overlap with the sixth. Let us note that the beginning of the seventh seal discloses the seven trumpets. This brings us to our study. Our contact is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. All hail the power of Yahshua's name. Hail the power of Yahshua's name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him King of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him King of all. He chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him King of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him King of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him, O Majesty, ascribe and crown him King of all. To him, O Majesty, ascribe and crown him King of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, to join the everlasting song and crown him King of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him King of all.